Today on Peace to Live By.
God has told us to cast our anxieties, our cares on Him, and to let Him bear up under those things. Wanting your life to be different is not wrong, but don't want whatever it is so bad that, in turn, it sacrifices the goodness and joy of today.
Welcome to today's program. Peace to Live By is a weekly radio broadcast featuring Bible teacher Daniel Litton, found on the web at peacetoliveby.org. The mission of this broadcast is to build up Christians in becoming more like Jesus Christ and to share the truth to those who don't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Daniel seeks to be clear and precise in his presentation of biblical truth in this weekly broadcast. Now let's listen to today's message.
We spent the last couple of weeks going over things that take away the peace that is supposed to be in our minds as Christians. We discussed on the first week of this series that Christians already have the peace of God given to them as a gift, and that God wants us to live with peaceful, content minds. Today I want to finish up our study on peace by discussing some things that we can do to retain our peace, to keep our peace in our lives as we live each day through. King Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes the keys to living a peaceful life. Indeed, he himself, during his lifetime, had considered many of the ways of this world and tried and experimented with different things in order to try and find the meaning of life. What he concluded was the following. Well, one thing, at least, is good. It is good for a man to eat well, drink a good glass of wine, accept his position in life, and enjoy his work, whatever his job may be, for however long the Lord may let him live. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18. So from this verse, two key things stick out, and that is enjoying life as well as being content with what we have been given. So, as we consider these things that will help us keep our peace, remember what Solomon has told us as part of God's Word. The Apostle Peter, in his first epistle, cites Psalm 134, verse 12 through 16, and he tells us, "For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. So as we live out each day of our lives, let us be peace seekers and pursuers, so that we can really enjoy all that life has to offer. Now, I have identified five things that will maintain and keep peace in our lives that I want us to consider today. They are as follows. Number one, staying in conversation with God on a regular basis. Number two, having faith and taking leaps of faith where necessary. Number three, following what is in our hearts and not logic in our minds. Number four, focusing on what we do have, not on what we don't have. And number five, thinking before we speak and considering carefully what we say. I believe these five things will help us keep the peace that has been given to us so that we can have better thoughts and attitudes in our life. Now, with each of the points I'm going to make, just like the last 2 weeks, I'm going to have a corresponding Bible verse up front. Let us remember what King David told us in Psalm 138 and verse 8. "The Lord will work out his plans for my life, For your loving kindness, Lord, continues forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. Number one in my list of peacekeepers here, staying in conversation with God on a regular basis. When I pray, you answer me and encourage me by giving me the strength I need. Psalm 138 and verse 3. Prayer is so essential to living a good life. Paul told us to pray without ceasing. The practice of continual conversation with God is so important to have a good day. I have found that on days of which I went about my day without adequate prayer at the beginning of the day, I find myself suffering in not too long of a time. The sole purpose for our existence is to be in a relationship with God. After all, that's why He created us, so that He could be in fellowship with humans who willingly want to be in fellowship with Him. We, as humans, want to be loved, and God also wants to be loved. When we spend time in prayer with our Heavenly Father, it starts our daily tasks off on the right note. It gets our minds in the right place so that our thoughts will be flowing in the right direction. God gives us the strength we need to live out each day of our lives. As David said in the verse I read a little bit ago, the strength God gives us then encourages us as we go about the day. Remember the famous verse which says, I can do all things through Him, Christ, who strengthens me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Indeed, of all of the things we need on a daily basis, God's strength is of primary importance. When we live our lives out, not everything always goes the way we want it to. And we see sin and suffering all around us. We don't have to look very far to see those things. Therefore, Christ's strength is critical for us. And we get this by having a continual conversation ongoing throughout our day with God. The writer of Hebrews reminds us, and without faith it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 6 and 7. God always answers our prayers when we have a need. Generally speaking, there are typically three answers that He provides: yes, no, and oftentimes wait. We love the first answer, but not so much the latter two. If we are going to keep our peace while we are waiting on something, we are going to have to spend time talking with God and trusting Him as we wait. Again, this can be very difficult when the thing we desire is impressed greatly upon our hearts. But our trust in God will overpower the desire to obtain whatever it is that we want. We exercise faith that God will provide what we want and need at the right time. God does give us what we want a lot of times. You know that, right? He is our loving Father, and just as parents often give their children the desires of their hearts, so God will often give us the desires of our hearts. The problem is, many of us don't believe that, and therefore do not obtain because we do not believe. No one can serve two masters. Either we will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Number two, having faith and taking leaps of faith when necessary. What is faith? It is a confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. A lot of people in our world today are pessimists. Most of the time, they just don't think the best or good will happen. And then there are those who call themselves the realists. These are the people who say they are neither optimistic or pessimistic, but that they see things in a realistic light. I am confident to say today that God wants us to be optimists, to be full of hope. We cannot have faith if we are pessimists or realists, but only if we are optimists, saying something like, well, it's possible this could happen, and it may or may not happen, is not being hopeful. That's a realist attitude. The best thing to say is something like, I believe that the best is going to happen, and that everything is going to be good. That's a hopeful attitude. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8? He said, let it be done for you as you have believed. Now that's pretty optimistic in having faith. It is true that problems are definitely going to rise up in our lives, no matter who we are. A lot of people think that the richer you are, for instance, the less problems you have, but nothing could be farther from the truth. The rich have more to worry about. So money isn't the answer to a peaceful life without problems. As I read in the verse in Proverbs, God wants us to listen to Him. When we follow God's word in our lives, we have less problems. But nonetheless, the problems that do come into our lives, of which we have no control of, we can still face with confidence because we have faith and trust in God. As the Apostle Paul reminds us, but the Lord is faithful. He will make you strong and guard you from satanic attacks of every kind. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. That includes relationship problems, money problems, health issues, satanic attacks, everything. And he also said in Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Times are going to come in our lives when it's time to make a choice. And if we want to have a peaceful mind, it is important that we are making the right choices when the time comes. God says to us, but all who listen to me shall live in peace and safety, unafraid. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 33. Sometimes we need to take a step of faith in a certain direction, a direction that we feel God is leading us in. This can be much harder done than said, because we are a people that likes to have all the answers. We like to consider every aspect of a situation, every intricate part of it, and then act from there. The problem with this kind of thinking is that first, we cannot always know all the answers. And second, sometimes God asks us to step out to make a choice when there are great unknowns. It is true that we sometimes have to act and then wait to see what happens to know if we are right in making our decision. But we can be sure that if God is leading us to do it, we know it will be right in the end. Number 3 in my list of peacekeepers, following what is in our hearts and not logic in our minds. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. Now, when I'm talking about following your heart in matters, I'm not saying you should follow your heart when the decision clearly violates God's word. Indeed, we all have sin in our hearts, and we should never follow something from our hearts that we know is sinful. But in matters where God gives us choice, freedom to choose what we wish, we should do what is in our hearts versus what may seem logical in our minds. God wants us to have a right heart attitude, to be obedient from the heart. We should have a sincere heart and do the will of God from our hearts. As the Apostle Paul told bondservants in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Paul told Timothy, "The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, and also see Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. We don't have to have all the facts about something before making a decision. When we don't follow our hearts, we lose our peace, and we live a life that isn't as fulfilling as it could have been. All of us, at one point or another, have attempted to justify our actions by using logic, by thinking things through when we know that the thing we are thinking is not what is in our heart. It is important, though, that we don't do this, because it takes away peace of mind. Following logic is like operating a piece of machinery or like a robot. There is no love in the equation. Sometimes it's hard to make a right, heartfelt decision about something. God may be calling you today to start or be involved in a certain ministry, but perhaps you have justified your way out of it by saying to yourself you don't have the money or the time that it will take to fulfill it. Or maybe you have said to yourself that you're not good enough. You may have talked yourself out of it, but you know deep down that that is what is in your heart, and that is what God is calling you to do. Well, you need to follow your heart and forget what your mind is telling you. If you will do what is in there in your heart, God will take care of the rest. Now, number 4 is similar to a point I talked about last week, but is a positive view of it. But I felt it necessary to reemphasize it this week, because I think it is a big stumbling block for a lot of people. Number 4, focusing on what we do have, not on what we don't have. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. We all have many things to be thankful for, no matter who we are. Cultivating and having this type of mindset keeps peace in our minds, not realizing the things we already have, and instead focusing on what we don't have makes us more and more greedy to get what we probably don't even need. It's not that buying new things is bad. It's when obtaining them overtakes your drive for life that you are too zealous for it, and it will take away your peace of mind. Again, wanting your life to be different is not wrong, but don't want whatever it is so bad that, in turn, it sacrifices the goodness and joy of today. God wants us to enjoy our lives as they are right now. Let's say you're waiting to find the right person to marry. There's nothing wrong with that, but don't desire to be married so much that that's all you think about and you don't enjoy your singleness right now. God has told us to cast our anxieties, our cares on Him, and to let Him bear up under those things. We can live with peace of mind and in true freedom with all the strength that we need while we are waiting. For all of us, there are going to be times in life when there is something we don't have that we want. Ideally, most of life should be spent being satisfied with what we have and not being in want. But sometimes God makes us wait on something, even when we need it, to teach us different things. Oftentimes, We think we are waiting on God for something, that he has to make the circumstances right to give us what he wants to give us. But really, many times God is waiting for us to be at the right spot in our life to give us what we desire and want. This may be a position at work, a different career, a spouse, a child, whatever it is, sometimes God is working things in us to prepare us for that reward. It is stated in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, "Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy, for when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow, and don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when patience is finally in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete." You may be thinking, yeah, but I've already been waiting a long time. Well, wait longer. God has reasons for doing what he is doing, and maybe your patience isn't as fully developed as you think it is. You never know later in life when or for what you're going to need that cultivated patience. Finally, number 5 on my peacekeeping tips: thinking before we speak and considering carefully what we say. For there is nothing covered up which is not going to be exposed, nor anything private which is not going to be made public. Whatever you may say in the dark will be heard in daylight, and whatever you whisper within four walls will be shouted from the housetops. Luke chapter 12 and verse 2. It is important for us to think before we speak if we are going to keep peace in our lives. Just saying whatever comes to your mind when you're in a conversation is just not a good idea. Sometimes you may need to pause for a noticeable moment before speaking, and that's okay. Again, James has told us, "So also the tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. A great forest can be set on fire by one tiny spark." If we don't carefully consider what we say to other people, we will end up saying things that hurts them, and in turn causes our peace to be gone. Words from ourselves to others can either build them up or tear them down. There are times when it is necessary to rebuke, correct, warn, and do things along those lines, but most of the time our speech should be uplifting to those around us. We are to be encouraging each other, building each other up. See 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. The words we speak out of our mouths are very important to God. Indeed, he is going to judge us each individually for the things we have said. Saying wrong things about God or things that tear others down will cost us reward and make life less enjoyable in the here and now. The Apostle Paul told the Colossians, "Do not lie to one another, seeing you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Nothing will hurt our relationships more than lying. Lying is like shooting a cannon at a building. When we lie to a loved one, a friend, we undercut the relationship and make it difficult for the person to trust us. Even small lies can undercut a growing relationship. It is easy to get caught up in small lies, and a lot of people typically have the ability to perceive when people are lying. Your mouth may be saying one thing while your face is telling a different story. In conclusion today, let's consider a verse from King Solomon. "So I conclude that first, there is nothing better for a man than to be happy and to enjoy himself as long as he can, and second, that he should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of his labors, for these are gifts from God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. I want us all to remember that God does want us to live in peace of mind as Christians, and even wants peace for those who are not Christians. I want those who are not Christian today to realize that even though God loves you, you still need to come into a personal relationship with Him to be truly free. God showed His love for everyone by having Jesus die on the cross for all sins of all time. But because each of us are born with a sin nature, we have to accept Jesus' perfect sacrifice on the cross for forgiveness of sins, and to truly be set free from sin. You see, Jesus can make you free today. He died on a cross some 2,000 years ago, and He rose from the dead by God's power so that anyone can be forgiven and set free from sin. By believing in Jesus for the forgiveness of the wrongs you've done in your life, you can be made at peace with God. He will forgive any and every offense for anyone who comes to Him in agreement with Him. There's no need to continue living with the weight of your sin on your shoulders. There's no need to live with regret. God can take all of that off your shoulders, and you can be made right with Him today. Not only will you be in right relationship with Him, but He also freely gives eternal life to whoever will believe in Him. There will be no hell in the future for those who accept Jesus. There's no more condemnation for them. They are free, free to live and have a new life. If you would like to accept Jesus today as your personal Lord and Savior and start your road toward a peaceful life, a peaceful mind, then just follow my lead in this simple prayer. God, I've messed up in my life. I have sinned against You and against others. I have not lived up to Your righteous standard. But I understand that through Jesus, I can have forgiveness for my sins, and the weight can come off my shoulders. I want to accept Jesus' sacrifice on my behalf, and I believe that He rose from the dead. I turn from willingly doing wrong today and count Jesus as my Lord. Please change my life and make me new, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Daniel. This is the Peace to Live By radio program featuring Bible teacher Daniel Litton. To read transcripts or download entire messages by Daniel, visit peacetoliveby.org. To contact the ministry, you can send emails to messages@peacetoliveby.org. Feel free to reach out and send us your comments. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/peacetoliveby. I'm Wayne Shepherd, and we'll be back next week with another message from Daniel Litton on Peace to Live By. This program is produced and sponsored by Peace to Live By Ministry in Powell, Ohio.